Okay, this week we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parsha Shoftim. So many exciting mitzvos in this week's Parsha. Let's roll up our sleeves and jump right in. The Parsha begins, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. That we have a responsibility to establish judges and police. Now, why are the police mentioned together with the judges? So the late, great Mashgiach of the Chevron Yeshiva, Reb Leib Chasma, we're going to hear a lot this week from Mashgichim of the Chevron Yeshiva. We are, of course, dealing 70 years since the 90 years since the terrible pogrom in Chevron Yeshiva in 1929. So we will spend some time with thoughts from their Mashgichim, what a phenomenal yeshiva it is today. Reb Leib Chasman Zatzal explains that when justice is not achieved merely by knowing what the right thing to do it is, it's not enough just to have shoftim. Justice is achieved when justice is carried out. And what is true on a communal level is true within each and every human being as well, says Reb Leib. It's not enough for a person to know what the right thing to do is. Each of us must also have the leaders inside ourselves to push ourselves to, as Nike used to say it, just do it. And so shoftim v'shotrim, we have to have the impetus to keep pushing ourselves forward. And then we're also told, lo sakir palem v'lo sikach shocha, don't take bribery. And Rashi explains that even if one only takes the bribe, to be honest, the bribe will sway him away from the truth. And Mashgiach Rav Meir Chadash Zatzal commented that it's impossible for a person not to surrender himself and his well-placed logic when swayed by taking bribes. In fact, the Hebrew word for bribe, shochad, is a contraction of the words shehuchad, that they are one. Those that take bribes are indeed combined into one with the one who bribes, and surrender their own minds and senses of self within the process. And this, of course, is a tremendous, tremendous danger that takes place within our lives. And we're told, Ki palim imcha davar la mishpat, bein dam la dam, bein din la din, bein nega la nega. If you're not sure in issues between blood and blood, justice and justice, blemish and blemish, so Rav Shechter would often remind us of the comment of the Vilna Gaon over here, that this pasuk highlights the three subsections of the Torah that one doesn't derive rules from one to the other. They are Issa v'heter, Dam v'dam, Nega la nega, Tumah v'tara, and Din l'din, and issues of Chosh and Mishpat. So when one has an issue and a doubt, and wants to bring a proof across these different expanses, one may not do so. Says Rav Shechter to us, sometimes these issues seem to align. Classic example would be, in terms of a coin becoming Tameh, is that based on a prohibition on Tumah, or issues concerning Nida. Nida has two aspects to it, the aspect of Tumah, but also, today, more pronounced is the aspect of Nida that is Isur, that is the prohibition between man and wife. And while these things seem to align, the rules are different based on the classification of the question. And that can have major ramifications as to what one would do in the cases of a doubt or a suffix. And so it's important for us to understand not only what the question is, the mitzias, but also to understand classification, where the mitzias finds itself. We're told, in certain situations, uviarta harami Yisrael, you have a responsibility to destroy the evil from Am Yisrael. And in five locations in the Torah refers to capital punishment as destroying the evil. Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz explains that this is done to highlight that the punishment is not vindictive. It's a means of cleansing. And that's also, this also highlights the message of Biur Hara. One needs to have inside himself that the cleansing process of tshuva is not about punishing. The cleansing process of tshuva is about using what you have in order to clean what you have going wrong within yourself. Below Yar, below Nashim, we're told about the king and the process that the king has not to have too many wives. Now, there's a famous medrash over here that notes that the letter Yud from Yarbe, not to have too many wives, came to Hashem to complain when Shlomo HaMelech violated the word Yarbe. He had too many wives. And so the Yud argued that if Shlomo has the ability to be mevatel him, to get rid of him, then what will happen in the future? And Hashem promised him that Shlomo and thousands like him can disappear before a small piece of Yud will disappear. Now, why was it the letter Yud that jumped in first to complain? Why not any of the other letters in the Pasuk? So Rav Hudner Zatzal, who learned in Hebron, explains that Yud speaks to the future, literally takes the present and makes it into the future tense. And so when Yud spoke up, it was worried about the Jewish future, that even if Shlomo were to be justified in his actions, what kind of effect would his actions have on the future generations? So Hashem promised him that his future would be secure in the Torah. There will always be room for a Yud. And that no matter what Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of the wise, might try to do, it is not even going to be successful. A person has to understand, Torah is immutable. We're told, of course, if there is to be a battle of a voluntary nature, of course, of a necessary nature, Melchemes Mitzvah, everyone goes, Afilu Chasan Michupaso, Afilu Kala Michupasa. Even if the chasna has to leave his room and the kala has to go from her chuppah. But when it's a voluntary war for Jewish opportunity and advancement, the Jewish nation's advancement, there is a call. And then there are exceptions that are provided. And one of the exceptions is a rule of somebody who built a new home, right? And we're told that such a person, so we should go home. Maybe somebody else will go ahead and ingratiate and inaugurate the house. Now it seems petty to send someone home for not dedicating his home. Rashi comments that it causes him distress. It's a case of agmas nefesh. Now Rav Gifter Zatzal explained that the Torah is trying to have us understand each and every person's nature. That is to say, when a person works hard at something, and the person senses that his efforts are going to personal waste, and more importantly, to somebody else, it causes that person distress. This, says Rav Gifter, is not a midos issue. It's a question of pain to the soul. It's not that I don't want you to have it. It's that I can't understand why I can't. I did all this work, and I will have no purpose. It's similar to the comment that B'nai Yisrael made in Mitzrayim when they turned to one another and heard the Gezerah of Paro, and they said to Amram, Lashav onu amelim, we are working for no purpose. We're also told, Mi yarei v'rach aleivav, somebody who's scared, and the Gemara in Sota on Daf Memdal Raman Aleph comments that a person who's afraid must be afraid of Avero Shebiyado, his own sins that he has in his hand. Why are we sending that person home? Why don't we just simply have him do tshuva? So Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, the famous Rabbi of Migdal HaEmek, explains that when the Gemara notes that averus are in his hands, it's a hint to the sins of theft. Tshuva for that type of a sin cannot be achieved until the item is returned. And sometimes we cannot figure out when and where and how and to whom it can be returned. And so rather than let the person at the battlefront freak out that he has no hope, we send the person home and not go ahead and allow that person to destroy the soul and the feeling of the Jewish people. Finally, in the Parsha, in the Haftorah, which we read the Shabbos, which comes from Yeshayahu, we're told, Anochi, Anochi u'menachemchem. God declares, I'm the one who's going to calm you. Mi atvatiri me'ano shamus. Who are you that you fear man? So Roshol Yisraeli noted that Yira is not something that exists only during war, it also exists during peace. In fact, he notes, so much of our motivation in life comes from the fear of the future. And the Torah teaches us not to fear man or manly issues. Rather, when it comes to Torah life, a commitment of royalty is the commitment to standards above fear, and above anyone else. The Torah teaches us that in the same way that the Melech he reads through the Sefer Torah, V'kara bo kol yemei chayav l'man tilmad yira es Hashem, in order to be able to read the Torah and discover where to place his fear, to make it a sense of Yiras Hashem. So, in that same way, says Roshol Yisraeli, the Torah wants us to commit to Hashem. Leman tomad liyira. Miat v'tiri mi'anosh, why would you be afraid of anybody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much do we wait for the great king, the Melech Yisrael, Melech HaMashiach, who will go ahead and give us the opportunity to turn around and recognize the ultimate king, the Melech Malchei Amlachim Bechvodo Ve'atzmo. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us the opportunity to meet the Melech Basar Vadam, who will bring us back to worship the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. Bayom Ahu Yiyah Shem Echad Ushmo Echad, and may we be there all together. Shabbat Shalom to all.